you really think that a great way to get people to work at your company is it's not fun here. You want to come here because it's really not fun to work here. No, people want to love their job. Fun is not inconsistent with serious.
For thousands of years, we've created things called games that tap the tremendous psychic power of fun. A well-designed game is a guided missile to the motivational heart of the human psyche. That's how our next guest, Kevin Warbach, opened up his most recent book, For the Win, How Game Thinking Can Revolutionize Your Business. You know, as you think about the future of work, how we create a workplace that's more fun and more engaging and more interesting for our workers, you know, often gets left out. In lieu of focusing on skills gaps and wages and other employee benefits, you know, and all that stuff is important, but equally creating a workplace that workers actually want to go to, maybe that's something businesses should be thinking about today, given the moment and what's happening. Kevin Warbach is an associate professor of legal studies and business ethics at the Wharton School. You may have heard of it. It's at the University of Pennsylvania. He's also the founder of the Supernova Group, a tech analysis and consulting firm. He's a sought-after speaker and commentator. He appears frequently in print and broadcast media, including CNN, NPR, The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and The Washington Post. He's advised the Obama administration's FEC. And this isn't just his first book talking about games. He's also written a book called The Gamification Toolkit, Dynamics, Mechanics, and Components for the Win. You know, I picked up Kevin's book and, you know, the back cover caught my attention, talked about how in the book, Kevin was going to reveal how a wide range of companies are successfully using game thinking. The book dives deep into an explanation of, you know, I'm not going to tell you. We're going to talk to Kevin about it. Here's our next guest, Kevin Warbach. Let's bring it in.
I guess out of the gate, Kevin, you know, you've been doing a ton on gamification as a researcher and a professor. Can you tell me just a little bit about where your interest in gamification came from?
So I was playing World of Warcraft, a massively multiplayer online game for fun. And I was playing it with a group of friends who mostly happened to be academics who were scholars of games. They were studying game design and elements of games. And I found it just incredibly fascinating, both you know, what they were doing, but also the experience of playing in this virtual world, seeing how teams form, how, you know, Warcraft, the raids, you need 40 people coordinated and interacting with different skill sets and so forth. And it was fascinating. And I kept on wondering, well, is there any connection to what I do as a legal scholar and a business school professor? Then around 2010, 2011, people started to talk about this concept of gamification, which really is the intersection of understanding games and how games work and how games are powerful and business, and understanding how you can apply those techniques. And it became this kind of fad that people were talking about, but there really wasn't a lot of systematic thought about how you do this effectively. So that was my invitation to really dive in and start to build some of those connections.
I talked to a lot of HR leaders who, you know, it seems like a decade ago, gamification was a buzzword. And I don't know if there's this feeling of gamification for some people think it's a fad, you know, oh, gamification, I've seen that before. What do you say to that?
So the term was a fad. You can go and look at the Google search numbers and so forth. And so there was this boom around the early 2010s, when everyone was talking about gamification. But back then, not a lot of people were really doing it, and certainly not doing it in any kind of fairly thoughtful, deep way. Nowadays, it's hard to find a lot of companies that aren't doing it in some way. And that's really horizontal. I mean, there have been studies done. You look at, you know, healthcare applications, you know, fitness tracking apps, like they're all gamified. Education, Khan Academy, Duolingo, they're all gamified. And a lot of the talent platforms, a lot of the, you know, learning development platforms and so forth, this has become kind of a standard suite of techniques, but people don't like to talk about it for various reasons. One reason, you know, actually I sort of drifted away from it for a while was I saw lots of organizations that said, oh, great, we'll just sort of throw on some points on this thing. And, you know, you get a badge for something, people will go crazy. And not understanding really what it takes to do that effectively, and also not being cognizant of the risks that you can use this in a way that's manipulative. And so lots of examples of really exploitative gamification, which became a turnoff. So because of all those things, the term is not used as much. But if you go and look at how much gamification there is in the marketplace, it may not be coming from companies that say, oh, I'm a gamification consulting firm, but it's pretty ubiquitous at this point.
Sure. We're not going to talk about Robinhood. We're not going to do that, I promise.
Yeah, no, we absolutely can. That's a great example. And the problem is people critique Robinhood and they say, well, the problem is they gamified finance and that's bad. You know, to which I say, no, the problem is the way they did gamification, that in ways that it's misleading, in ways that it sort of doesn't give people appropriate information. That's the problem, not the fact that you create a game-like environment.
Has the power or your perspective on gamification changed since work from home and COVID over the last year? Has your perspective gotten stronger in any area?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think what this experience has made a lot of people realize is that the line that we draw between the quote real world and the quote virtual world is artificial. And that's been true for a long time. I'm not saying that in some sort of, you know, grand philosophical sense. The experience that I was having a decade ago, and it goes way back before that, but the experience I was having with people I was playing World of Warcraft with all around the world, was a real social experience. You know, to say, well, that's not quote real, it's different. It's not the same thing as someone who's sitting next to me at the office, but I have a connection with those people. And so part of gamification is appreciating that we can construct environments and these virtual environments, and we need to take them seriously. We need to take the interactions seriously and the motivations they create seriously. And you see that more generally, that people want to think, well, social media experiences aren't real experiences. They're real. Now they're different, they're dangerous, all kinds of concerns about it. But what I think this experience has made a lot of people realize is just how real you can have in an interaction virtually. I mean, I see that teaching. I've been teaching my classes for the past year entirely via Zoom. It's not the same. There are limitations, there are all kinds of problems, but you can really teach. You can really interact with students through this virtual environment. And I knew that before because of what I do. But I think lots of people just had this idea that if you're not physically next to someone, that it somehow just doesn't count.
I talk to folks who, when they hear gamification, they hear games, they think, like we talked about a second ago, they think about it's not serious enough. And I listened to you on a podcast earlier talking about, you made the comment, don't forget the fun. Mm-hmm. And that's a dangerous thing to say. You know, some town people, you know, they think, every day at work, like, this isn't fun, this is business. What do you say to that?
Oh, it's a false dichotomy. You know, you really think that a great way to get people to work at your company is, it's not fun here, you want to come here because it's really not fun to work here? No, I mean, people want to love their job. Fun is not inconsistent with serious, right? Fun is about engagement and excitement and interest and feeling a sense of possibility. You can do that in a very serious context. And it's part of the thing that's striking when you look at gamification. You know, where do you see gamification? There was an article actually in Foreign Policy magazine about 10 years ago, looking at Al-Qaeda sites that were using gamification to engage and motivate people to participate in these jihadi websites. Now that's a use of it for evil. Mm-hmm. But that was not, it wasn't like, you know, come and be part of this community that is, you know, going to attack the West because it's, you know, a great, exciting fight. No, it was the sense that people want to feel part of something. They want to feel excited and motivated about what they're doing. So don't forget the fun is part of the six steps. And in the book that I co-wrote called For the Win, we have this six-step framework for gamification. And the point of don't forget the fun is it's easy to, even if you're doing a gamification design, to lose sight of that, to think about all these particular mechanics and structures and so forth, and not create something that people want to do. Fun does not mean frivolous. You know, you look at what people are doing, even, you know, people who are engrossed in playing games, they are totally focused. They're in that kind of flow zone. That's what you want. And that's what you want, you know, no matter how big or serious or high stakes the thing is that you're doing.
I think about culture today. It's so tough being remote. I mean, even teams and companies that thought they had a tight culture, and we've all heard the phrase employee engagement a ton, to the point where I'm not even sometimes sure how to define it. But when I think about games, I had come across a study a while ago talking about the impact of playing games on two strangers and the empathy and the connection that was created between two people that I think this study was, they played 15 minutes of Rock Band and then they came back into the research experiment. And you probably know what I'm maybe quoting. I guess, where do you think this can take us in gamification if used correctly on future of work as a theme?
Yeah, it's an important qualifier you had there in terms of it used correctly, because games can be designed in what I think of as shallow and problematic ways. Again, that goes back to the Robin Hood example. People tend to assume that games are all about competition. It's about winning and losing. And it turns out that in gamification design, that's typically the worst technique to use. Because if you set something up, well, then the winner's going to love it. What do you think the loser's going to think? They're going to say, screw this. I don't want to be part of this. It turns out that you can actually have that. First of all, research has shown cooperation is an even stronger motivator. The effect on people's engagement level of cooperating with the team is actually much stronger than the competitive effect. And you can have both. You can put people together in teams and say, you're working on your team against this other team, or it's, you know, this division against another division or something like that. Competition is a motivator. But if the game is designed in a way that strengthens people's bonds, then that actually can be really powerful. And again, because it's virtual, because it doesn't depend on being in the same office with someone, you have a shared task. So there's a lot of gamification in practice that doesn't unlock these techniques. Again, it's one of the reasons that I wrote the book and I teach a MOOC on this on Coursera, that I feel like a lot of people miss those nuances because they think, oh, games, it's just, you know, you get something if you win, or we'll just rank people on a leaderboard. If you think about it in terms of, well, my goal is I want to create a sense of community, there are ways you can do that using these game elements.
That's great, Kevin. I got one more question for you. Any cool software? I'm sure you see all types of tech startups and softwares that come along that are trying to implement gamification in some way, shape, or form. If you were to give a software company out there listening one piece of advice in order to do it right, what would it be, other than to read your book and watch the movie?
Yeah, well, it's you know, go through those steps, which means, you know, you want to, you know, as a software company, you want to think about allowing for more than just the points and the badges and the leaderboards. That's the table stakes. But give people the opportunity to think about deeper and more sophisticated forms of interaction. And you know, for that simple thing I just mentioned, the fact that it's not just competition, it's competition with cooperation. There's lots of mechanisms like that. For example, there are leaderboards where you rank people has the problem. Again, the people at the bottom. Well, so lots of effective implementers of gamification, they have multiple leaderboards. So on different dimensions. So I can be at the top of this leaderboard today, but someone else can be at the top of that leaderboard. Simple kinds of things like that. So if you are starting from the thought that what I am providing as a software provider is not just a set of tools. It's not like I'm giving you points. It's I'm giving you the ability to create experiences and to leverage psychological attributes. There's a lot of psychological support for these techniques. Then you can sort of model out how to provide, you know, not just your particular pieces, but really sort of full tools for customers to use it in ways that are relevant to them. So maybe that's too long. That's not just one thing. But it's again, that's getting deeper than just the surface manifestations.
Sure. No, I think people today are trying to find ways to keep people connected. And I think some of the points in your book for the win are just on the money. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us today, Kevin.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me.
Napoleon Bonaparte, you may have heard of him too. He said, a soldier will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon. That was also in Kevin's book, which you should pick up. A few thoughts coming out of that conversation with Kevin. The first was, you know, Kevin talked about how studies show cooperation is an even stronger motivator than competition. That's important when we think about game techniques, because oftentimes people think that games are just straight up competitive only, and games are only about winning and losing. I think there's a lot of misinformation that people may have, or stereotypes that they may have when they think about games and how they bring it into the workplace. I'm glad Kevin double-clicked on that point, because some of the most powerful games are all about the right balance of cooperation and leveraging competition, you know, at certain points. But there are a lot of games that their entire premise are based more on cooperation. Kevin also said fun is not inconsistent with seriousness. It's wild to think about the way that we use fun and play to learn almost everything initially as we grow up. But somehow when we get into a workplace, fun automatically becomes a bad word. Also, Kevin said that the line we draw between the real world and the virtual world is artificial. In his book, he even went on to talk about successfully implementing gamification requires two kinds of skills. It requires folks to have a strong understanding of game design, and it requires an understanding of business techniques. He goes on to say that few products do both well. So thanks to Kevin Warbeck for taking time to join us. If you haven't, I know you will, head on over to your local bookstore and pick up For the Win, How Game Thinking Can Revolutionize Your Business by Kevin Warbeck and Dan Hunter. And don't forget to subscribe to Bring It In so you never miss an episode. We've got some awesome guests lined up that you're not going to want to miss. Now, back to work.